Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you on another Truth of the Matter program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer requests, prayer praises, and any of those good things, especially at the end of the broadcast, your questions or comments. As we have Dr. Doug Quick in the house with us, so Sister Ruth, who do we have with us tonight?
Well, we got Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Brother Quick, and me.
Ah, okay. Well, but not to mention everybody else who's listening via the Internet. All right, so what do you got for us, Ruth?
I think we should pray for Emily. She hasn't been feeling good at all. And pray for six and the network and some other things that are going on, and praising the Lord for how I'm doing a little bit better. So that's good. I'm on the complete there.
Yep. And Sister Emily asked for, it's somebody that she knows that her and them may end up having to go to, it's possible that they're having to go over to take care of a surgery that's going to have to happen tonight, if not tomorrow. So that needs to be prayer, but I didn't catch the name. Then there's, of course, her mom that she still wants prayer for. Of course, all our nation's leaders, they'd seek after God, not after man. The situation over in Israel, our military, of course, all our first responders, police, fire, ambulance, those who work in hospitals, nursing homes, all the doctors, different nurses, and then, of course, our patients in both those places, the sick and shut in general, as well as the lost in general, and, of course, that soul who is nearest hell that come to Christ by hearing maybe even this broadcast tonight. And then I have an unspoken, as well as the needs of our blind ministry. And, well, beyond that, we just want to continue to pray for, like Ruth said, for the station in general. And with that, I'm complete. I'll turn it over to Brother Quick and Sister Quick for any prayer requests they have so that Brother Quick can take us on and pray for us and get right into the message tonight.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken. It's good to hear you speaking loud and clear. I heard you earlier, and I wasn't real sure if you was speaking loud, if you're speaking clear, or just what in the world. And then your wife told me what your problem was, and I said, oh, okay, I can understand that. All of us have those moments, that's for sure. But it's just always good to hear you, and it's good to hear your wife. And Emily, you said she's headed for surgery probably yet tonight.
No, it's somebody that Emily knows.
Oh, someone that Emily knows. Okay.
Yeah.
That changes. All right. So there's someone that she knows is going into surgery. Okay. That helps me.
Yeah, but I didn't catch the name of that person, but I just know that it's somebody, Emily, and this lady, Annabelle. They know this person, and it's someone that's related to Annabelle.
Okay.
That much I caught, but I didn't catch exactly who the person was or the name or the relationship. So
I got one more. Emily told me something in private I can't tell you guys. But somebody has been hurting her really bad, saying things about her behind her back. She don't need this. And so I'd like to have prayer that this person will straighten out and get saved.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Quick.
I know I'm writing, and I knew you was going to say something there. I hadn't fell asleep. I was writing this, and I don't write real fast. My wife used to write pretty fast, but she doesn't have an ink pen in her hand tonight, so I guess I've been a whole lot better off.
What you need is a braille writer, Brother Quick.
Oh, there we go. Well, I haven't really graduated to that point yet. So it's good to know that, brother.
Well, guess what? Hey, like I said, when you start teaching me online more of the Bible stuff that I want, I could start working with you with Braille. How's that for a deal?
That sounds like a good deal to me. All right, well, let's pray, and we'll get started into the message of the hour tonight. Our Father, thank you so much for these requests that have been brought to our attention, and we're asking that you just be with Miss Emily in a special way. someone is bad talking her, and we don't need to know who it is. You know all about that, and we're just going to bring her to you and just let you know that she called for an unspoken request on this. But you know who it is, and we're just pleading with you even now that you just minister, that you'd break some hearts and break some wills and let Miss Emily get back doing as Miss Emily loves to do. And we're just asking now to just be with this person that's going into surgery that's related to Miss Annabelle. We're asking that that surgery would work very well and just bring them out and give them good healing. Then for Brother Six, I know that there's burdens with the radio network. He doesn't ever tell me anything about it, but I know that there's some burdens, and I would plead with you, you just touch him and just help him to understand that you know all about what he's facing, and you know exactly how to bring him through that. And so I'm just asking that you just mention this to his heart and help him to understand that you are there and he is right there where he can cry out to you, and that's all that any of us need to do. And now I'm asking for the four special unspoken that Miss Quick and I have. I honestly believe that God is dealing in one of these, and we talked to a certain person that we're praying for, and just conversing with them has let me know that you're just doing a work in their heart, and that's what we need to hear. And so we're just pleading with you, you just continue to work there, and that you'd help us this night on this message to preach the Word of God to a lost and dying world that will be hearing this. I know that for a fact. And there's saved people that will be hearing it. I know that for a fact. And I would plead with you that you strengthen me and quicken my mind and help me to preach this with the power of the Spirit of God upon me. And I'll thank you and praise your name for that very much. Now, Lord, just be with us now. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible right handy, I'm going to be dealing in the book of Exodus. We'll start out in chapter 12. And then we'll be in different places in the book of Exodus, but I'll explain where we're going, and the Lord will help us to get where we need to go, I'm sure of that. Now, Israel had been in bondage. They were in this bondage to Egypt for some 430 years. That is a long bondage. That's much longer than America has been a nation. We've been a nation for 200 and I want to say around 40 or 50 years, 60 years, something like that. So we're nowhere near the 430 years that Israel had been in bondage to the country of Egypt. But God's going to get them out of there. And God is going to deal with Egypt in a horrific way. The king would never let them leave. Moses had went to the king on several times and had told him, you need to let Israel go because we want to go just 3 days' journey out where we can worship our God. Well, the 3 days out was just a way of trying to get the king's attention. They went a little more than 3 days out because God got them out of there for sure. we read in first in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 40. You listen as I read this, and I'm going to ask the Lord to help us for sure on this passage of Scripture. Verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all of the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Verse number 42 says, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all of the children of Israel in their generations. Now God had all of this planned for sure. The last judgment that God was that the firstborn was going to die. The firstborn of the children, the men, the women, the firstborn all died in this one certain night. The firstborn of the cattle died this same certain night. The firstborn of all of the mules died this same night. The firstborn of all of the camels died this same night. It had to have been one kind of a bloody mess for Egypt for sure. And we'll back up just a little bit here in this same chapter. Verse number 30. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house, for there was not one bed. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone. And then Pharaoh said, and bless me also. Bless me also. All of this was brought on because Pharaoh would not listen to Moses, not the first time. And God said it's going to cost them their firstborn, and it did. And they woke up one night, and all of the firstborn children was dead. They went out. All of the firstborn cattle was dead. All of the firstborn of every animal they had was dead. And so right in the middle of the night, Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, get out of here. That's quickology, putting it there for you to understand. Get up and get out of here and take your animals with you. You see, he wouldn't let them take their flocks. He was going to let the men go, but Moses said, no, it's going to be all of us. And then he said, well, you just go, just leave your flocks back behind. And Moses said, no, they got to go with us too. And so when God struck all of the firstborn, Pharaoh called for Moses in the middle of the night. And he said, get up and get out of here and take all of the Jews with you, all of your cows, all of your mules, all your camels, all of your animals, just get them, get out of here. Well, they did that. But God had softened the hearts of the Egyptians. And before the Jews left town, God had instructed them to go and borrow, that's what the Word of God says, to go and borrow from the Egyptians all of those things that were worth something. When Israel left, they left Egypt with a whole lot of gold in their pocket. And when they left, Egypt didn't have any gold left in their pocket. Amen. But if you read it, verse number 35, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent all of those things that they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. I can just about imagine how much they spoiled them. They knew that God was fixing to take them out of there, and they had worked hard for 430 years, didn't get their pay, I'm sure, for 430 years, didn't have a minute of rest at all for 430 years. And so they borrowed all of this stuff from the Egyptians. That's what God said. He said, you go and borrow it. And they borrowed it not to ever pay it back, amen. But that's what God said. And so then they left. And they left out of there with Moses leading them out. I read these two verses of scripture, verse 41, verse 42. Verse 41, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the self same day, it came to pass that all of the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. I'm sure, I'm just as sure as on their behalf as what I am on my behalf, that they didn't understand exactly what all had happened. How could they? They just couldn't understand that. But they did understand this. They were free. No more were they going to be bondage, bonds, and slaves to the Egyptians, because God says, you're free, Moses. He's going to lead you out. Well, they followed Moses. But I'm sure that there was a whole lot that they didn't understand. You know, when God saved my soul, there was a whole lot that took place in me that I didn't understand. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I did not understand all of these things that God was doing in my heart. But then there is a scripture, a verse of scripture that will help me on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Listen to this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, present tense, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me call your attention to these verbs just for a moment. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. That is a present tense, right now verb. He is. There's been a change in his heart. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Not going to pass away. Not one day's going to pass away. No. They are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yes, yes, yes. When God saved my soul, things turned around. I had such a wonderful change in my heart because God had saved my soul. And those of you who are listening to me, you can say amen right there, because you know that you had that brand new heart, and you also, and everything was changed in you also. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That certain time that
amen.
I had with God was life-changing to me. Suddenly, all of my friends didn't want to hang around with me anymore. All of a sudden, all I wanted to do was talk about Jesus. They didn't want to hear that. So they departed. And then suddenly we began going to the church house. And all of a sudden, I actually started listening to what the preacher was saying. Hello. I've been a preacher of the gospel for the past 50 years. I know how many times that I have gotten up to preach, and there's been a whole good number of people that were sitting there. They did not want to hear a word I had to say. They would whisper back and forth. They would joke back and forth all the time that I'm up preaching. I knew what their problem was. They really didn't want to be there. Amen. 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 They didn't really want to be there. Well, that's what happened to the Jews also. God had freed them after 430 years of slavery. God had freed them. And when they left out of there, they left out of there with jewels of gold, jewels of silver. They had plenty of things that was worth 430 years of slavery. I have to put it that way. I've not been in slavery 430 years, but I can just about imagine in my own heart how the Jews must have felt. Amen. Well, you see, living the Christian life is such a different lifestyle than what I had ever lived before. Suddenly, I was being confronted with situations that I couldn't handle. It didn't take very long to figure out the reason for all of these things hitting me like they were, was because now I was a child of God. Now I was a servant of God. Now I belonged to the Lord. And the devil was going to throw everything in his power in my path to try and change my mind. Well, you know, Israel had a time or two of this same happening. Turn over, if you would please, to chapter 14 and listen to what's going to take place. Verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel by Hathrah between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Isn't that amazing? God says, I want you to camp out here by this little lake. And then verse number 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Well, isn't that amazing? They've been turned loose. They set free. All of their cows and horses and all that stuff going along with them. But all of a sudden, one of them hollered out, what's all that dust raising up there in back of us? Well, it didn't take long to figure out the Egyptians was coming after them. And I don't have the time to read how it was that Pharaoh had some 600 chariots, something like that, and he had all of the army, and they were going after the Jews. Well, here's the thing of it. They said unto Moses, verse number 11, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Isn't that amazing? The Jews are no different than you and me. All of a sudden, there's something facing them. They don't see any way out. Got a pile of water in front of them, coming hard at them, coming from the other side of the water, and they're going to take it out on Moses. They said, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. But Moses got a word for him. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Isn't that amazing? They got a large army coming at them. They can't go anywhere in front of them because the sea is there. And then Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I know what they was figuring. I think I have figured this same thing a time or two in my life. When I have heard from the Lord, and the Lord had said, stand still, and I have sat back, what does the Lord mean, stand still? Doesn't he understand what it is that I'm confronted with? Doesn't he know that? Of course he knows that. He always knows that. Our God is a know-it-all God. And I don't say that bragging. I say that for the fact that our God knows everything. He always has known everything. He always will know everything. And Moses said to these people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And then there's a verse of scripture here. I'm looking for it. Verse 29, the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. How could they do this? Well, I'll tell you how they can do this. Because God had put a blanket between them and that Egyptian army. There's a verse of scripture here, right here in this same passage that we're reading here. Verse 19. I'll find it. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to those on the other side, to the Egyptians, to the Jews. So that Moses would have time to raise that sword or that spear, and the water would separate, and the Jews would go across there on dry ground. Hello. They went through the middle of that sea on dry ground. And when they got to the other side, God removed that darkness. And the Egyptians said, hey, they went across there. We'll make it across there too. But they didn't get across there. They sunk to the bottom of the water. Not the first one of them lived a second longer. You see, God knew how to take care of that need. He's a God that knows how to take care of every need that you and I have also. This time, Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see them again no more forever. Ain't that amazing? God knows how to meet our need. He's promised to meet our need. He certainly has. Well, pretty good for the Jews. They made some time. They got across where all the water stood on one side and stood on the other side. They got all across there. All of the animals got across, and they're heading on out. And they made it for a little while. But then in chapter 17, we're going to have another problem. Chapter 17, look at verse number 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Boom. There's something over 3 million Jews. Somebody once said that there was more than 6 million Jews there. I don't know how many was alive. I know there was a whole bunch of them alive. And if there were just 3 million of them, how many animals you reckon they had? How many millions of animals do you think they had? Each family had horses. Each family had mules. Each family had cattle. Each family probably had some camels. Each family. And they've come to a place where there's no water. Verse number 2, chapter 17. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. People murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Isn't that amazing? They're still remembering those days that they spent in Egypt. And here they're running into another problem. And in their mind, all they can think about is they had plenty of water when they was in Egypt. They never run out of water when they was in Egypt. And so they throw that up before Moses. Thou brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Verse number 5 of chapter 17. Listen to this. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Can you imagine 3 million human beings? And let's just say there maybe was 10 or 12 million animals along with them. Can you imagine the water that came out of this rock? It had to have been as wide as the old Mississippi River used to be. There still is. And deep as the Mississippi River always has been, there was enough water as to where all of the Jews got all of the water they needed. All of their animals got all of the water they needed. But the devil has never been one to love it when God meets our need. Read on, if you would, please, at verse number 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did that. This Amalek to be the son of Esau. Esau was not anybody that had any kind of love for God. Esau was a man that took care of his own needs. He didn't need God. He fought against his brother. He didn't need God. And now Amalek is his son, and his son is another one. He doesn't need God. But this mighty river of water in the middle of the desert. Can you imagine a mighty river the size of the Mississippi River flowing in the midst of the desert? Amalek says, we're going to go fight and get that water. Well, Amalek didn't understand the water was there coming from God. And had Amalek been able to do what these people right now are trying to do, if Amalek would have been able to wipe out all the Jews, that would have wiped out the water too. Amen and amen. You see, it came to pass, number 11, verse number 11. Well, Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. I can understand that. I have held my hands up for a little bit at different times. And it doesn't take long before your hand and your arm gets heavy. And Moses was having this trouble. But there was two that went up on the mountain with Moses. There was two. Aaron and Hur. And they saw that he was having trouble with his hands being so heavy. And they took a stone and they set him on that stone. They put it under him, verse number 12. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Isn't that amazing? We think we can live the Christian life in our own power? No. Can't do it. We can't do it in our own power. We need somebody else to be right there to help us. That's how it always has been. That's how it always will be. This was a real need for Israel because they had all of these animals, all of their children, all of their wives, all of the menfolk, no water. It was a real need. And there's been a time or two that I know of when I've had a real need. And I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I've got a need. And the Lord knew about it. And the Lord always has met every need. I can say that after being in the family of God for well over 60 years. God has always come through, and he's always met every need. Amen and amen. My wife and I have got four special unspoken prayer requests. God knows about them. God's going to meet those needs. We're praying for these people. And God's going to meet those needs. We walk a good bit at the Walmarts here in town when we're here in town. And just the other day, there was three divine appointments that we had. Three. The first one was a lady. We knew her, but she's not been working for some time. And she told us what was going on. And she's got two aneurysms in the top of her brain. Both of these are real small. They're small enough where they can't do any surgery. And so her name is Phyllis. And just join in with us because we're praying for Phyllis. And I said to her right then, I said, let's pray right now. And she wrapped her arms around my wife and around me, and we prayed. It wasn't too long after that, we run into another lady. We hadn't seen her for a while. Her name is Elaine. And she's had some health troubles. She's been out of work for about a year. She just nicely has gotten back to work. And she's asked us to pray for her. Her name is Elaine. Pray for her. There's a gentleman that works in a Walmart. His name is Dennis. I've talked with him before. He's told me how he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a Christian. Phyllis is a Christian. Elaine is a Christian. We've talked with all of them. And I walked up to this gentleman. His name is Dennis. He was sitting in a place where he normally works. And I walked up to him and I said, this is pretty good, sitting down on a job like this. And I took one look at him, and I said, there's something bad wrong with him. I said, Dennis, I'm going to pray for you. He said, please do, Brother Quick. And he grabbed my hand, and he's shaking like a leaf. We got done praying, and he got stood to his feet, and he was shaking. Every inch of that man's body was shaking. I said, Dennis, you need to sit down. No, he says, I need to go home. I said, well, how are you going to get there? Oh, just get me out of the car. When I get set down, I'll be all right. I'll be able to drive it home. And I looked at him and I said, Dennis, you can't drive a car. Not now. You can't do this. And my wife piped up right then. She says, Dennis, don't you even think about trying to drive. You're not going to be able to drive that car anywhere. And one of the ladies that works in there, I renamed her several months ago. But Lonnie Sue right then walked in the room, and she had her eyes on Dennis. I said, Lonnie Sue, this boy needs some help. She said, I have just took myself off the clock, and I'm going to take him home. And Dennis started in, no, you don't have to do that. Just get me to the car. I'll be all right. She said, Dennis, you listen to me. I'm going to take you home. You ain't got no argument on this because I'm going to take you home. And that was two or three days ago, and we haven't been able to find anything out about Dennis yet. But pray for these. These were divine appointments that we asked the Lord to help us with and didn't realize that we was going to end up with them. But the Lord put us right there. And we've been praying for these people ever since. But you see, that's how it is in a child of God's life. Sure, there's going to be trouble that's going to hit us. Sure, there's going to be things that's going to hit us that we don't really understand. That's for sure. But you know, there is something. God gave us a verse of scripture. And you need to memorize this verse of scripture. It's James chapter 4, verse number 7. James wrote and he said these words, submit yourselves therefore to God. There's a period after that. Submit yourselves therefore to God. He didn't say subject yourself. He said submit yourself. All of us know what it means to be in subjection. We all have to pay taxes. None of us want to pay taxes, but we have to pay taxes because that's the law. We have to subject ourselves to the fact of paying taxes. That's the law. But when it comes to living our life for the Lord God, we don't subject ourselves unto God. No. To subject means that you are agreeing. You don't agree, but you're agreeing because you just feel like that's the only way you're going to get through this. That's subjection. Submission is different. To submit yourselves, therefore, to God is to just go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm yours. I've got some trouble that I'm facing. You've promised to take me through all of it. I'm here. I'm submitting myself unto you because I know that's the right way to do it. But James chapter 4, verse 7 doesn't stop there. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. You don't resist the devil by saying, hey, devil, go on, get away from me. I don't want you around me right now. The devil laughs at people when they say that. The devil has got more power than you can shake a stick at. And I don't have, it's not my privilege, it's not my right to command the devil to do anything. But it is my privilege. It is my privilege, listen to me, is my privilege to resist him. Jesus gave us scripture. And I have used what Jesus said many, many times. To resist the devil, quote scripture. That's all you got to do. Just quote some scripture. We find that in the Gospels, where the devil was thinking that he was going to change the Lord God. And every time the devil tried, Jesus just laid scripture on him. Jesus always said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And then the devil finally gave up for a short time. And that's how it's going to be with you and me. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And the rest of that verse says this. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Woo. There is victory in a child of God's life. It doesn't make any difference at all. The toughness that we're facing, the strong stuff that we're facing, it doesn't matter how much somebody is cursing us out. All that matters is for you and me to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. To submit means I'm willingly giving myself to the Lord. I willingly give myself unto the Lord. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. You see, the Jews was having an awful time. They was having an awful time following Moses. And Moses led them out. Moses led them through on dry ground in the middle of the sea. Moses led them to a place. And the mighty Mississippi River was flowing right there in the middle of the desert. And all of the Jews and all of their animals got their fill of water. Amen. Well, that's how it is with God dealing with the Jews. Yet to this day, God is helping the Jews. There's a certain bunch that are trying to do away with the Jew, ain't going to work. You're not going to get it done because God chose the Jewish people. They are his chosen people. And if you want to find out how it is that you can be blessed, you just bless the Jew. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 and verse 4. I'll read. Just hang on a minute and I'll get there. Genesis chapter 12. And listen to what God says. Verse number 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Wow. There's this bunch trying to do away with the Jews right now. I have been pleading with God. I've been begging the Lord that these bombs and these things that they're sending over to Israel. I've been pleading and begging God that these things will suddenly backfire and blow up in their own face. It's going to happen. I can promise you it's going to happen. Because you cannot be that mean, that hate around God's people and get away with it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Well, that's another story. You don't want me to go chasing rabbits. And I think it's about time to get out of here anyhow. And so I want to ask you right now, do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you say yes, I got another question for you. Does he know you? Because there's a whole lot of worldlings that say, oh, yeah, I know all about that. But does Jesus know them? No. You see, in order to be a child of God, if you trust Christ to save your soul, he's going to do it. And that's how it is. When you trust Christ to save your soul, you don't have to worry about having to go back and ask him to save your soul again. Because when he saves your soul, he gives you everlasting life. Everlasting life is life that lasts ever and ever and ever. It lasts because we deserve it. But that's what he gives us. And I'm glad that he gave it to me. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you listen to me. In order to be, in order to meet him, to be sick of your sin, you have to be sick of it. And then you've got to cry out to God. Let him know that you're a sinner. Crying out for mercy. And crying out for Jesus to come and save your soul. And that very thing will happen. Amen and amen and amen. Our Father, thank you for these moments together this night. I would plead with you that you would deal with those hearts that don't know Christ. I would plead with you, Lord, that you'd help them to understand they're a sinner. They need to cry out to you and let you know that they're a sinner crying out. They need to let you know that they're crying out for mercy. They need to let you know that they need Jesus to come and save their soul. And I know for a fact that you'll do that, Lord. You've done it for me. You did it for my daddy. You did it for my mama and my wife. You did it for my mom-in-law. You did it for her parents. You did it. You did it. Amen. You just help us now to be mindful of your presence with us as we leave here today. And help us to understand you have something for every child of God to do. That is a fact. That is a fact. I know that for a fact. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Lord, you got something for each one of us to do. Just help us to be mindful of your presence with us, and help us to be mindful of the fact that, yes, we're a sinner. Yes, we need to come and plead with you, forgive us of our sin every day. We need to do that. And then we need to pick up and go with you, and you bless us. Now just be with us in a special way now, Lord. Thank you for Six Eyes Radio Network. I would plead with you that you just touch Brother Six Eyes and help him in all of those things that are belaboring him. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen, Brother Ken.
All right. You want to give the folks your snail mail there, Brother Quick?
I sure do. 1122, that's 1122, Church Street, that's Waycross, Georgia. Waycross is spelled capital Waycross, just one word, Georgia, 31501. We're right here in the corner of the southeastern corner of the United States of America, and we're glad to be here.
Amen. All right, and if anybody overseas especially would like to get a hold of Brother Quick, all you got to do is send us an email via my email, feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's F-E-E-L, letter N is Nancy, touchking@gmail.com. Again, feelandtouchking@gmail.com. In your subject line, put question or comment for Brother Quick, and then go ahead and send that message out to us. We will then print it off, send it to Brother Quick, and then when he sends the reply, we will send it to you as an attachment, as a PDF. All right, and so Sister Ruth there, we're going to, she's and take care of something there. But Brother Quick, while she's getting ready to check for us who may be with us, I was loving your message there, especially you were talking about the Red Sea crossing. Now, you know what the skeptics say. The skeptics say, well, that wasn't really a big miracle because that was only ankle-deep water.
Yeah.
But the thing is, to me, well, if that be true, well, then it was a bigger miracle than I even thought, because they forgot the Egyptians, the Bible says, drowned along with their horses, and if it was only ankle-deep water, then they'd drown in ankle-deep water.
There you go.
So if they want to say that the Jewish people crossed in ankle-deep water, well, okay. Well, fine with me. You want to say that? Well, then that's fine with me. Then the Egyptians drown in ankle-deep water. So,
there you go.
So either way, it's still a miracle. Amen. All right. So, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels. We have you, Brother Six, his wife, and me. And somebody was on here for a little bit, but they got off, so I don't know who they were.
All right. Well, you got Six's mic open there, Ruth?
Six isn't on.
Oh, I thought you said Six was on.
No, it was just we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels. We got you, Brother Six, and me. Not Brother Six, but Brother
Quick
and his wife and me.
Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out. When you said
Six isn't on tonight, I don't know where he is.
Oh, when you said Brother Six, I said, well, wait a minute. If Brother Six is on, then why can't you open his mic? Okay, so it's Brother Quick. Okay. All right. Well, what'd you get tonight, Rue?
Wonderful. Every bit of it. It was so great. You know, I just enjoyed everything. I always like what he preaches anyway. I showed him that today.
Yeah.
He knows.
But the interesting thing also is how the children of Israel, even though they saw God's hand over and over, they just complained, complained, complained. And sorry to say, even today, isn't that the way it is with us Christians? We do the same.
Exactly.
Jesus saves us, then we still complain.
Mm-hmm.
So, a little pointer there. All right. Just out of curiosity, Brother Quick, give the phone to Mrs. Quick. We want to see what she got from the message tonight. Put her on the spot tonight.
Whenever he was talking about the Mississippi River, I can remember when we were traveling, you know, we had to cross the Mississippi River. And it seems to me like it's about 5 miles wide. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway,
we were
at the Mississippi River. Some of the
kids never crossed it.
Yeah, it's pretty wide. But anyways, I always enjoy his messages. He seems he's always got something to give to us, something to think about, and it's just a delight to be married to a preacher that knows how to break the of God to us.
Amen. All right. So, Mrs. Quick, just be ready that starting tonight, I thought we might start bringing you in just to kind of get your little thoughts. So, you know, hey, you're always sitting in the background there. Hey, we'd like to hear from you, too. So, get you to say something, you know.
Been feeling real well this week. I don't know. I come down on the bad sore throat and just real weak, and I haven't had consumption at all. And then today I got up. I'm feeling better. I think that medicine I've been taking for my throat is really
Well, Mrs. Quick, it goes like this. First off, in order to feel well, you have to have one in the backyard or somewhere, okay? You have to have one dug, okay?
Darling, you're so funny.
And in order to feel better, I'd like to know, it has to be tactile first.
Something. Okay. Whatever.
Because better would have to be hard or soft, rough or smooth or something like that, you know? That's the only way you could feel it.
Oh. This is such a silly We always joke about that. You know, you're going to have a well in the backyard. Well, I'm sorry, but Asheville Homes, the landlord, will not allow us to have a well.
Yeah, oh, well.
Let's not talk about wells. They get to be pretty deep subjects.
Yeah, true enough, yeah. Sweetie. he's just so much fun.
Amen. We'll not talk about wells. They get to be deep subjects.
You didn't mention your birthday today. He is now 53 years old today. He had a birthday.
Who's got a birthday? Whose birthday? Mm-hmm.
Kenny.
Brother Kenny? And he never even told us.
Huh.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday there, fella.
Yep. Yep.
How about that one? Did you get a birthday cake?
Yeah, I had to get my own.
You had to get your own? What in the world? Well,
I had to get my own.
Well, sometimes I make him one, but he went out and bought it with Emily. They went out shopping yesterday, so they got the food this time.
Okay. Well, that'll work.
One thing about that cake, though, honey, it's got a lot of sugar in it. So, man, I'll tell you, anybody's diabetic, be careful of that one.
Yep. The only thing that cake would have been good for is those that have hypoglycemia. I mean, that'll fix a person who's got hypoglycemia. If they got low blood sugar, that'll raise their blood sugar counts real quick.
Well,
It'll shoot it from 76 to 306 in no time flat.
Yeah, oh, I had a piece of that, but honey, I tell you, that's really sweet. I got to be careful and let you eat most of it. We got to get Emily over to eat yet. We still got enough left to keep for her.
Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, that's how she went. So.
Okay.
So, but it was a good, see, that was the best part of my birthday, waiting for the truth of the matter and getting a good message. That's what I was looking for.
Amen. Wonderful, wasn't it? I think so. Wonderful.
That's what I was looking forward to.
Thank you very much.
And it turned out to be a good message, just as I thought it would be. I was praying for that. So, got a good message. Can't put a price on a good message, that's for sure. So, all right, since it looks like everybody's got their prayer request in, Brother Quick, we'll let you give us a closing prayer, and we'll catch everybody tomorrow.
All right. Well, let's pray. Are there any other requests that have not been mentioned? All right. Well, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for these moments that you've given for us to be together tonight. And thank you for the requests that have come in. Pray that you just be with Emily's friend that's going for surgery tonight sometime. We're asking for your hand to be there with the surgeon. And pray that you'd be with Brother Six. And that you just help him with the burdens that he must be carrying. Pray that you'd be with Israel. And Lord, I saw just a flash of news where we are fighting back with, I guess there have been some 100 attacks against us, and now all of a sudden we're fighting back. I didn't get a chance to read that, but I'm glad for that, Lord. But I'm asking you just keep your hand upon Israel. They are your chosen people. And just pleading with you that you bring this to an end very soon and that these people that are gunning them down and all that, I'm just asking that things just start going backwards and that you just bring salvation to Israel in whichever way would be pleasing unto you. Pray that you'd be with the unspoken that Brother Ken has, that you'd minister there and that you'd just help him as he waits on you. Pray that you'd be with Miss Quick and myself as we're waiting on 4 special unspoken. And Lord, we're just asking that you just continue to work, and we know that you are. Watch over us now and help us to understand every need that we have. We can meet and bring it to you, and we know that you have promised us you'd meet every need, and you're just so special at doing that. So, Lord, just watch over us now and keep us safe. Help us to understand that you're there with us every day, every moment of every day. Help us to understand there are those things that you have for us to do, and help each one of us to be found faithful unto you. And we'll sure thank you and praise you for that. Now, watch over us now. Be with Brother Ken and his wife, be it Miss Emily, be it Brother Six, that you just keep your hand upon these and strengthen each one of them. We love you with all of our hearts, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us that same way in return. Watch over us now, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 God bless everybody. Catch you tomorrow.
Everybody have a good sleep, and we'll catch you tomorrow. Love everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.